The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Then they came to Capernaum, and on the Sabbath Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority?" He commands even the unclean spirit and they obey him. His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. I would like to start with an announcement. I know that we have announcements at the beginning of the Mass, but this announcement is about the Mass. You know that we have different seasons in the Church's liturgy, and now we have flu season. I know this is not the liturgical time, but after talking with some priests, I think that it will be better for everybody to suspend for a few weeks having communion with both species. It means we will receive communion only with the body of Christ. We believe that in every piece, every particle of the consecrated host, we have Jesus with his body and blood, soul and divinity, the entire Jesus, and we receive Jesus receiving a piece of consecrated bread or drop of consecrated blood. In this case, we don't have to help to spread this flu between our parishioners. And I would like to say sorry to the Eucharistic ministers. And some of you will leave you jobless for a few weeks. Thank you for understanding. And now to our readings, and especially to the second reading from today's liturgy of the word. As a priest, people have asked me many times many different questions. But some questions they ask over and over. For example, "Father, what religious order do you belong to?" Or, "What is this white thing that you have in your collar?" But one question that probably is a little bit more difficult to respond is, why don't priests get married? If I had a dollar for every time I was asked that question, probably I could pay the new entrance to Father Sebastian's hall. We have part of the answer to that question in today's reading from St. Paul to the Corinthians. He contrasts the married and unmarried man. The former is anxious to please the wife, while the latter, free from that obligation, task, anxiety, can devote himself to pleasing the Lord. But we need a little bit more explanation about this, because at the first view, we can see that someone who has wife, children, family can't please God. And someone who has no wife, husband, children, family can please God. And of course, this is not that way. This is not true. St. Paul does not consider a person's work in terms of what they do. That for him is the old way of sins. What counts is not what you do, but who you are. Of course, deeds have value, but only as an expression of that inner reality. When St. Paul describes the difference between the married and unmarried man, he's not laying out a formula for efficiency. Rather, he challenges us to a Christian ideal. To get married, to have children, to have family, is a very noble vocation. And for most people, dedication to one's spouse brings that self-emptying necessary for salvation. Marriage, family life, is still the core vocation for people. And we can see this in different readings from the New Testament. But alongside of marriage is the celibate idea. One of the greatest example of this celibate idea was Saint Pope John Paul II. His life gives clue on how to live this celibate life with intensity. In one of the books that describes the life of St. Paul, John Paul II, called Witness to Hope, shows the Pope's life from inside. What struck me was how from his earliest years as a priest, Father Wojtyla divided his days into three parts. First comes prayer. I was astounded to read the extent of each day his gifts to prayer. Not only Mass, not only the liturgy of the hours, which is binding to every priest, but at least an hour before the Blessed Sacrament, several rosaries, as well as various devotions, such like Stations of the Cross, and yes, weekly confession. Such large amount of prayer do not steal from, but actually seem to add to the second part of his day, apostolic activity. I have to admit, I was touched and challenged by the tenderness of his care for people. First, as pastor in rural parish, next the university chaplain, then bishop, and finally as pope. The third part of his day, which he seemed to squeeze into what for me would be probably frantic activity, was study. And we are not only talking about reading books and studying texts, he was reading and studying people. In living the celibate ideal, we priests sometimes neglect intellectual stimulation. But this is what is part, or what should be part, of this style of life. We can see in the Pope's life how prayer, apostolic activity, and study infuse the celibate idea with meaning. Celibacy has always been linked with spiritual fatherhood to such a degree that when celibacy was dropped, the people stopped calling their pastors father. But that title, which has deep roots in the Bible, speaks to our spiritual closeness to people, especially when we celebrate the sacraments. I have been humbled by how, even though I have not had first-hand experience with marriage, people will still come to me talking about the most intimate problems of their marriage. Celibacy realizes its deepest purpose when the priest acts as spiritual father. Bishop Shin said that at the moment of final judgment, God will ask us, "Where are your children?" In spite of my own weaknesses and sins, I hope that I can respond, "Here are my children, here are my spiritual children." I would like to ask you, not only today, but every time when you have time and when you pray, to add to your prayer list, to your prayer intentions, the prayer for the priest, to have them not as clerks at the office, not as someone who celebrates the Mass on Sunday, but also as spiritual fathers. Amen.